Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for September 27th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. The blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, along with the checks and balances, along with the good, honest, moral people that turn to God for solutions, cannot be stopped, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we built the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we can absolutely preserve the nation, restore the republic. But it takes good, honest Americans getting involved. We're counting on you. Welcome to the broadcast. Wow, I got a whole big detail of the broadcast we covered yesterday, but I'm going to forego that for now. People want to hear right about the debate breakdown. We're going to drill right into it. Kurt Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, my friend. Did you watch the debate?
I heard part of it. I was in the middle of taking care of five grandchildren. So I heard parts, and I heard some of the commentary afterwards. I couldn't really participate in the whole thing, but how about you?
All right. I listened to the whole thing. Took notes, as always, broke it down. I'm ready to go. Do you want to go first on your thoughts?
I heard pre-debate stuff, then I heard some debate, then I heard some post-debate. At least my analysis is basically that neither one of them shot themselves, big time in the foot, both of them... you might have almost say they were real close to their best game, whatever best is possible for each of them. I believe their supporters will both basically say, hey, in Donald's case, they'll say, man, Donald was great. In Hillary's case, they'll say, well, Hillary was great. That both of them will announce that they won, because that's my analysis of what will basically be the fallout from it.
All right. Well, let's start out and kind of break down what it was, just so everybody understands. It was an hour and a half long, literally no breaks. The debate format was divided into six 15-minute segments. The first two segments supposedly focused on America's direction, the second two segments on achieving prosperity and the economy, and the last two segments on securing America, national security, and foreign policy. Now, I've got some very bold views on this, and I'm just going to let it rip. And I know a lot of people aren't going to like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, because that's what I really think. Bottom line, Kurt, Hillary ate him alive. Donald literally melted down. Neither Trump or Clinton focused on what they would do if they were elected at all. Yeah, neither of them focused on what they would do if they were elected. Neither candidate focused on real solutions. Neither of them mentioned the promotion of God, family, or country. Neither of them mentioned the protection of life, liberty, or property. Not a single mention of the Constitution all night. How do you leave God out, family out, and the Constitution out, but stand for solutions? It's impossible. Clinton literally argued for stricter background checks and gun control. Donald didn't even disagree with her, really. Clinton is right regarding stop and frisk. It's unconstitutional. It's wrong without probable cause. There's no justification. Donald advocated for it. Turns out that Lester Holt became the third debater. Holt interrupted Trump way more than he did Clinton. He asked Trump six follow-up questions. Hillary, 0. He interrupted Trump 41 times and Clinton only 7. Bottom line is, Joseph Fares' words, Hillary won round 1. I hate to say it, says Joseph Farah, because I truly believe the election of Donald Trump is profoundly important for the future of our country. But Hillary cleaned his clock in the great debate, says Joseph Farah. Bottom line is, she attacked, he defended. No question about it. Both Trump and Clinton denied making statements that they're both on record as of making. In other words, they both literally lied. Clinton basically said, I have a feeling by the end of tonight, I'm going to be blamed for everything that's ever happened. Trump quipped, why not? Trump says, yes, Hillary has experience, but it's bad experience. That's one of the best lines Trump gave all night. Now, fact check, Trump is right on Clinton's, what do they call that, TPP? Trade flop. So Trump's right. She has flopped. She said it was like the gold standard in trade, and now she's backing way away from it. Clinton slammed GOP's trumped up trickle-down tax plan. That was a great line from her, even though I think she's wrong. But she did a great job in encapsulating it in a one-liner that Donald's well known for. Clinton slams GOP nominee with trumped up trickle-down tax plan. Trump said, I will release my tax returns when the audit is over or when Hillary releases her emails. Donald Trump did blast the Fed for creating bubbles to prop up the Obama presidency. Hillary Clinton doubled down on Obama's failed economic policies in the first debate. In other words, she literally said everything, you know what, that Obama's done was wonderful and great, and man, he's pulled us out of the recession. She literally said, I'm going to continue the Donald plan, or I'm sorry, the Barack plan for the next 4 years if I get elected. Clinton's State Department online counterterrorism program was a failure. Donald pointed out that true reality. But as I can see, Kurt, it was a very, very sad scenario to watch. Donald was subdued. He literally didn't drill into anything hardcore. He mentioned a lot of surface issues, but he didn't dig in. He didn't seem to understand the debate points at all. Hillary literally ate him for lunch. Ate him alive. Now, Clinton and Trump literally agreed on something that I think is absolutely foolhardy. And it's the only clip I decided out of the, 1 hour and 35 minute presentation that I thought was worth playing back. There's a lot of good zingers and everything else that the mainstream press will play back. But this is what I found fascinating. Donald and Hillary both agreed that nuclear weapons in the hands of other countries is the worst threat we face. Listen to this.
That is the number one threat we face in the world, and it becomes particularly threatening if terrorists ever get their hands on any nuclear material.
I agree with her on one thing. The single greatest problem the world has is nuclear armament, nuclear weapons.
They both agree the single biggest threat the world has to face is nuclear weapons. See, I think that's absolutely foolhardy. Number one, we're running around the world arming people and helping people gain nukes. We run around, we're the biggest arms dealers in the world. We fund and train terrorists. It goes on and on. Now, I think the biggest thing we face in America and in the world today is the continued turn away from spirituality. And from the knowledge and acknowledgement that God is in his heavens. And the Judeo-Christian viewpoints of our founding fathers. then how can a nation rise without God's aid? How can we expect to be successful if we don't turn to the author of liberty? I think the move away from God towards secularism and perverting his commandments is the biggest problem the world faces. But not a mention of God, family, or country. Not a mention of the protection of those sacred things. Not a mention of the protection of life, liberty, and property. Not a one. And they run around and say nuclear armament is the biggest threat, and they both agree. They literally both really agreed on gun control to some degree. Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I worry about my parents because I think smoking is going to harm them. I mean, it harms my mom. She coughs all the time. I'm just like, Mom, it's because of your smoking. But she's like, well, see, this is what you should look at. See me, I smoke and look at this. I'm just like, yeah, Mom, why don't you just try to quit?
Sometimes teenagers do know what they're talking about.
I've tried. I've brought them the little pamphlets that we get at school about not smoking. And I've like tossed it in front of them. I'm like, Mom, read this. We even got this thing from the American Cancer Society. It was this thing that you send around about not smoking because my mom sends those things out. And she's like sitting here folding them up. And I was like, Mom, are you really going to send those out? And she's like, well, yeah. And I was like, well, isn't that a slight bit hypocritical? She says, no, I'm going to send them out. I was like, well, don't you see something? These people are trying so hard to get people not to smoke. She was just like, well, I know it's wrong and I know it's going to harm me, but it hasn't harmed me yet.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, bottom line, I still submit that Donald melted down. Hillary absolutely ate him for lunch. She ate him alive. And bottom line is, it was sad to see. Literally, Donald called her Secretary Clinton all night long, a term of respect. She called him Donald all night long. It was a tragedy to see. They both literally agreed on gun control. Donald basically talked about that, hey, the NRA supports me. Donald ran around talking about all these groups that are supporting him. But I didn't see a substantive discussion about issues that I hold the most dear. God, not a word. Family, The only thing they said is, hey, you know what? Urban families need my plan, kind of thing. Need me. I need to save, you know, inner city families and such. But nothing really about what they would do when they got elected. Nothing really. I mean, Donald said I'll create jobs, but that doesn't explain anything. That's a in my opinion, a very lackluster statement when it's not backed with reality of how you would accomplish those things. I mean, yeah, he said I'll put tariffs at the borders and things, but government doesn't create jobs is the point, folks. People create jobs. And yes, I agree with the idea that, you know what, I would decrease regulation and I'd decrease taxes. But the points weren't made. They weren't solidly made at all that I see. Basically, this statement from Joseph Farah, I thought was spot on. You know what? We really, really think this election's critical and Donald needs to win it. But a lot of people say this won't change the outcome. You know, Donald, even though he didn't have a lot of good attacks, was very polite to Hillary, and that's what he needed. And so maybe in that sense, it'll go fine. But neither candidate focused on real solutions at all. They literally agreed that one of the biggest problems we face is nuclear. I don't agree with that. Lester Holt became the third debater in a way. Hillary wins round one. Yeah, that's what Joseph Farah says. She attacked, he defended. Wow. Wow. Hillary cleaned his clock in the great debate, says Joseph Farah. Kurt, do you want to comment on any of this? I didn't see anything of substance happen at all.
Well, excuse me. When I look at this whole thing, I agree with you that if Trump had gone into detail on, hey, here's how this works or whatever, but I do believe that he was taking more of a stand of, hey, you know, I just want to show deference or whatever to the lady, and this is an important picture or part of it. It's almost like when a wrestler has to wrestle a woman wrestler, and the other individual is a man. If he comes off as basically insensitive or really goes after, then he's going to take some heat for basically not being a nice guy. And I think that Trump has realized that, number one, he does have the, the reputation of being somewhat of a mean guy or whatever. And to garner the voting of many of those women who make up, I think, more than half of the electorate, he needs to show that he's not really a mean guy, that he's showing respect and that kind of thing. And there's no bigger stage for him to show that on than what was last night. So at least in my opinion, this is one thing that's not being talked about or hit on by the standard media, is just, the whole feelings of the women folk, if you will. It's not an area where we men are very good at analyzing it. We certainly can't say that we understand women. But I do believe that in today's electoral world, that it's a key, I guess you could say, a key factor that, somebody who wants to win and get the number of votes necessary has got to do that. I also believe that he has learned from, at least if he hasn't learned, he's been told, from beating these 17 other guys, that it's not good to beat them and destroy them, because what you do is you alienate any possible voters that would come from them to your side by making yourself their enemy. And so I do believe that that's why you're seeing a term, to coin a phrase that's been used many times, a kinder, gentler Donald Trump. On the other hand, I heard him, at least on the parts that I heard him defend himself carefully and very good. And I think, you know, he came back from the whole, well, you got to show your taxes and that kind of thing. And I don't think he went after her at all with the whole Clinton Foundation thing of being available. But he did bring up the 33,000, you know, emails, just like he says, I'll show mine as soon as you bring those. And, you know, so I think those are a few factors that at least the woman card is not being brought up, I don't see, by anyone. And yet I think that's a key factor in these elections that we face, simply because women are typically more involved, I think, in the elections. And they, I guess you could say, almost run the homes in America.
You're right about that. And I we brought up the women thing because I think it's a critical factor. I think Donald, some are saying that, hey, him laying off on women and laying off on attacking Clinton directly was the smartest move he could make. He did appear presidential. She attacked, and he just politely, you know, parried. The problem that I have is you can still be polite and still make points. Let me give you a quick example. This birth certificate issue. Donald basically backed away from that and said, well, at least I got the birth certificate released. But all Donald needed to say is Joe Arpaio is Donald's good friend and supporter. And all he had to say was Donald looked into the birth certificate, guys, and it's a fake. It's bogus. But he didn't. What he said was, I got the birth certificate released, and now I think, you know what, Barack's born in the United States. Well, Barack might be born in the United States. It might just be that his father's a communist and people don't want to admit that. Frank Marshall Davis. I don't know what the story is. I just know that there's a big fiasco about it, and Donald let her beat him over the head with it, and he could have just simply responded in a way that made sense, which is, hey, you know what, there are still people, one of the largest sheriff's departments in the country, did research and still says what Barack released is a fraud. And the problem is this sheriff can't go anywhere, can't go to the FBI to get any redress of grievance because the FBI is in bed with you, Hillary. They never had any intention to prosecute you over your bogus email scandal. And we can't get justice on a Barack's birth certificate and find out the truth about its fraudulent origins either for the same reason. Okay, Donald could have taken on so many different issues, but he didn't. He just backed down. For example, another issue is his tax returns. He said, I'll release them when you release your emails. But he didn't go in and talk about the emails. Hillary called Donald a liar and everything else, and he should have said, Hillary, you're really going to call me a liar when you perjured yourself before Congress and had your staff destroy evidence? Really? And you're going to call me a liar? Okay, but he waffled literally on almost every single item is what I see. Now, I agree he's got to be gentle because it's a woman. I get all that. But, man, I think Donald absolutely failed this debate. I hope in the next two he does better. And I'll tell you how he can do just that because I don't like to complain without providing answers. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
4 years ago, Annie Ducan, a chemist at the Massachusetts State Crime Lab, pleaded guilty to falsifying positive results in thousands of drug samples over the course of 9 years. Among her criminal acts were the deliberate tainting of drug evidence, misrepresentations regarding the number of samples she had tested, and forging signatures on official paperwork. Attorney General Martha Coakley said that Ducan had corrupted the integrity of the entire criminal justice system in Massachusetts. The lab was subsequently shut down. In July, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruled that defendants in cases involving test results provided by Ducan could rescind their guilty pleas and seek new trials without facing additional charges or harsher sentences. Now the ACLU has filed legal challenges demanding that more than 24,000 drug convictions based on tainted evidence provided by Ducan be thrown out. While the Ducan affair is one of the largest drug lab scandals, it is far from the only one, reports Reason magazine. Junk science and lack of independent labs plague the criminal justice system. In July, Houston officials announced they had identified 298 wrongful convictions based on faulty roadside drug tests. In March, New Jersey state officials said a lab technician for the state police allegedly falsified drug test results, possibly affecting 7,827 cases. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. All I can tell you is that Donald tried to blame the birther claim on Hillary spreading it and starting it and everything else. And again, the problem with Donald's responses is they were very vague. Talking about Blumenthal and Blumenthal this and that. When he got done, I'm like, what? I don't even get it. Okay, this birther thing is very clear. People have wondered where Barack was born. It's been a controversy forever. Joe Arpaio researched the birth certificate that was released and determined it was a fraud. This is not about where Barack was born anymore. We've wondered that. We don't know the answer. But this is about the fraudulent birth certificate that Barack produced. But that didn't even get brought up. Okay, same thing with gun control. You know what? Donald said, oh man, the NRA supports me. But he didn't stand up for gun control, or against it, I should say. He didn't stand up for the Second Amendment, really. Right? What did Donald really stand up for? He stood up for everybody and their dogs endorsing me. He stood up for, lower taxes, kind of. He kind of talked about, we're going to bring back money back to this country. But he didn't say how or anything. He just said, well, I'll sit down at the table and get it done. Everybody agrees it needs to be done. They say Trump scores points by sticking to issues. Kind of. He did way more than Hillary. At least he wasn't on the attack and gone crazy. But I'm not really sure that we got details on those issues. All the pundits and talking heads are certainly offering up their views on the debates. Bottom line is there was really a distinction between Donald Trump posing a problem with America and change for the future and Hillary Clinton sticking with the status quo. That's true. The good news for Donald Trump is he was debating serious issues where the former Secretary of State made no obvious failings. See, I disagree with that. Bottom line is Donald Trump didn't go to low blows, really. Hillary got off scot-free on the email scandal, though, and the Clinton Foundation scandals, and the Benghazi scandals. Yeah, Hillary Clinton got a pass on a bunch of stuff. Now, they say majority of snap polls show that Trump won the debate by a landslide. But I'm not so sure that's true. What do you say, Kurt? Kurt's got some polls that can break this down for us a little bit.
Well, I'm looking at three different ones. You got the CNBC poll, the Time poll, and the Drudge poll. Which one do you want to start with?
Anyone you want, sir.
All right. When you look at the CNBC.com poll, they show 876,286 votes, and they give this is their question: Clinton or Trump, who do you think won the first presidential debate? They give 33% of the votes to Hillary and 67% to Donald Trump.
In other words, which poll was this?
This is the CNBC.
CNBC, Donald clearly wins 2-1, basically, right?
That's right. Then you have the Time.com poll, and they show 1,528,204 votes, and it's still rising, by the way. They have Donald at 54%, Hillary at 46%. Their question was, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump faced off at their first presidential debate Monday. Who do you think won? Anyway, that's how they did it. And then the Drudge poll, it has just over about 620,000 votes, and it's got 82.4% for Trump, 17.6% for Hillary. So those are the three I can bring you.
Yeah, so the mainstream polls are looking at Donald as the big winner, but I think Donald got eaten alive. I really do. I think that, you know what, Hillary came across quite presidential. Donald, in my opinion, didn't. And I don't really like Hillary. I don't like her delivery. I don't like her demeanor. I don't like her attitude. I don't like what she stands for. And Trump scores points by sticking to issues. I agree that one of my advice tips to him before we started this, Kurt, was you got to be polite to Hillary. You got to take the woman issue into account. And I would say that Donald did do that very well. He didn't really go on the attack that I can see at all. But all I'm telling you is that, again, when you look at the issues that matter to me, right? Trump didn't do very well, Kurt. He didn't. I said that you got to highlight the contrast on taxes. He did a little bit, but not much. You got to get into the details on jobs. He talked about jobs, but not a lot. Hillary focused on the middle class while Donald focused on jobs. And you know, Hillary's delivery, even though I don't believe a word she says, was much better. There wasn't a distinction of pro-life versus pro-death. There wasn't a distinction of the protection of the Second Amendment versus gun control. There wasn't a difference on foreign policy. They both said, hey, nuclear and guns are our biggest threats. I don't really see a lot of the distinctions being made, Kurt. It almost reminds me a little bit of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. When they got done, I'm like, really, what's the differences in those guys? I mean, Donald was the one that wants to stop and frisk you, and Hillary's like, no, it's unconstitutional. That was the only time the Constitution was mentioned. Anyway, very strange scenario, but I really didn't think Donald did too well. I'm glad other people think he did better than I thought, because, man, when it got done, I was just like, oh, boy. I don't know what Donald did. I'm not sure that Donald had a breakout moment at all. The idea that Donald was going to basically put her away and be the president of the United States and this might change the game did not even close to happen. And so there you have it. The debate coverage. Majority of snap polls show that Donald won debate by a landslide. I guess it was his polite demeanor. There you have it, Kurt. The other issue is that, you know, she called Donald a racist and really made this point. He's a racist and everything else. Donald didn't really lay a hand on her about race or whatever. Hillary's as big of a racist as anybody if you study her history. but he didn't really, you know. So Donald did decent, I guess, if the goal was just to play defense. He didn't get slaughtered too bad. He made some interesting comebacks. But anyway, there you go. Sam Bushman, Hillary ate him alive, and Donald melted down. That's really my take. Neither Trump or Clinton focused on what they would do if they were elected. There you go. I better take out not a single mention of the Constitution, I guess, because Hillary did say it wasn't constitutional. But neither of them are constitutional. All right, any other tidbits you found, Kurt?
You know, I don't think I can really emphasize enough that we're in the modern day of the way that elections are won, in my opinion. It's not the way they should be, but it's the way they're won is this little sound bite for, you know, in Trump's case, the whole looking presidential kind of thing, you know, and for example, the USA Today piece that says Trump pulled off presidential, James Robin. And, you know, he says, like Reagan in 1980, viewers saw Trump who was better than the liberal talking point. So when you look at, if you're talking about mainstream media and their analysis, I think, I don't know that USA Today has been any, you know, pro-Trump kind of a paper, but for them to say that, I think, you know, kind of gives you a picture, at least in my opinion, of what the standard voter out there saw. You know, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, you know, there's nobody, I don't think, besides you, that would like to see Trump do more on the on any of those issues that we care strongly about. You know, hitting the, you know, the Arpaio thing, hitting the tax issue, hitting the Federal Reserve, hitting, you know, there's just so many of those. But in my opinion, then you come off with, as well, I guess you could just say you're not the modern day winner. Like,
yeah, there was not a single mention of shutting down any departments in government.
Good point.
I didn't really see any downsizing to be had. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, we mentioned this on yesterday's broadcast, but it's interesting. It didn't get brought up in the debate, but Donald emailed me right after the debate and brought it up. I don't understand that. I will fight back against so-called right to work, Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton declares war on right to work. Investors, Business Daily. So Donald didn't mention this at all like he should have. He should have highlighted the contrast. But he didn't. But then afterwards, he emailed me about this and said, hey, donate some cash so that I can stand up for right to work. We had a photo of Michelle Obama hugging George Bush. It went viral. Their families are, you know, all-time friends.
By the way, Sam, I remember saying when you said it was George W. Bush, I remember saying I thought it was George Herbert Walker Bush, but I did look at the picture again, and you were right.
Yeah, the problem is the old man's looking like his dad, huh?
Well, I'm just saying.
At first glance, you know.
That's what happened.
Anyway, I don't know. All I'm telling you is that's interesting. Now, they say 100 million did watch the debate. That's pretty interesting. I think that Donald, his polite demeanor overall, and this is maybe why he won, and his kindness to Hillary made Hillary look pretty bad. She was on the attack. However, anybody who believes Hillary's not healthy enough to go through this campaign cycle is wrong. She delivered with vigor, Kurt, and Donald was subdued, comparatively speaking. She was on the attack. He was on the defense. It may have done him well for that, but the health questions are going to be hard to win now. Now, the New York Times, Politico, Washington Post, and Los Angeles Times all teamed up to say Donald tells more lies than Hillary. The establishment media lies again. They say all their articles just came out coincidentally at the same time. The lamestream lies fit a pattern for sure. The New York Times did announce they're endorsing Hillary Clinton for president. Goodbye to their objectivity. Trump campaign plans to spend $140 million ad buy with the media that he says is bogus. Now, this Paulette Metoyer, this doctor who said, you know, the lights might get to Hillary. There was no signs of health problems that I saw, Kurt. She had vigor. She didn't seem to have missteps or confusion whatsoever. She was able to take it to the Donald all 90 minutes long. Billionaire Mark Cuban didn't seem to be a factor in the debate. Neither did Jennifer Flowers or any of the women. Again, this is kind of an issue, not even any issues about, Bill Clinton's behavior came up at all. Bill just sat up there on stage. Now, no discussion of sanctuary cities really, or immigration hardly, Kurt, or the border walls or fences that I mentioned should be discussed. None of it. Hillary's campaign manager went into full spin mode when asked about sanctuary cities. Donald didn't even bring up sanctuary cities. Glenn Beck is disappointed in Cruz for supporting Donald Trump. No mention of the FBI documents showing that even Barack Obama's involved with Hillary Clinton's email scandal via pseudonym or fake name. Black radio talk show host, Audrey Pruitt accuses Democrats of trimming up racism to secure more black votes. None of that from the Donald. No real discussions about the Supreme Court, hardly at all. Maybe a little blip. But nothing really. Okay? I don't really understand it, Kurt, but Donald didn't really take it to Hillary at all. And maybe that's his strategy. Maybe he's just like, hey, I'm not going to take her on. I'm going to let her give her best shots. And then over time, as long as I don't get too beat up, the subdued nature, the treating a woman kindly will do well. Anyway, we played back the Donald Trump Jr. interview on Super Tuesday. We played that back yesterday. We also had on Mr. Steve Cordes, Trump Hispanic council member and Trump advisor. Anyway, Sam emails Jason Horowitz on the New York Times article, says, I'm really disappointed. What gives? Have you printed your retraction correction yet? They have printed the New York Times correction, Kurt. But I think it's all bogus. And the reason I say it's bogus is because, yeah, there's a slight correction there. And I have bragging rights now that I forced Politico and the New York Times both to retract and correct over their dishonesty. However, they reprinted the story again in the New York Times, Kurt, and then just at the very bottom, they have a tiny correction is all they have. It's not very prominent. It's not very detailed like it should be. But anyway, it's better than nothing, I guess. Right? But I emailed back Jason and said, this is kind of a disgrace. I mean, you should correct better than that. Okay. They say, correction, September 27th. On Tuesday, this article has been revised to reflect the following correction. An article on Wednesday about a post on Twitter by Donald Trump in which he compared Syrian refugees to a bowl of Skittles, referred incorrectly to radio interviews of Mr. Trump and David Duke. They were interviewed on associated but different radio shows. Mr. Trump did not appear on a radio show that once interviewed David Duke. Mr. Trump was asked questions on the show by another radio host who had interviewed Mr. Duke. That's all. And so it's not very clear. And I emailed Jason back and I said, you know, Jason, this is a disgrace. First off, you republished the article in in my opinion, incorrect, dishonest form. Most people will never even get to the bottom and read that. But when they do, it's not even very clear. What you need to say is Liberty Roundtable Live and Sam Bushman have never interviewed David Duke, and we were wrong. We said that they did, and it's not true. Furthermore, James Edwards, the political cesspool, has never interviewed Donald Trump Jr. either. But what they want to do is they want to try to vaguely reword it to be correctively accurate, but yet not admit they were completely wrong and still leave the vague assertions that me and James are racist and that we hang out with David Duke and therefore Donald Jr. is a racist and therefore going up the food chain, Donald's a racist. And this all coming from the New York Times, who have endorsed Hillary Clinton, see? Anyway, I'm disappointed in Jason for his intellectual dishonesty. However, I will say that I've forced the New York Times and Politico to correct the facts. And as you mainstream press thugs continue to lie about me, I will force you to retract. And pretty soon, the list will get as long as my arm. There you have it. Because they're dishonest. And they can't help themselves, Kurt. So there you have that.
You know, Sam, it's amazing to see the different, I guess you could say, the different parts of this whole thing. You know, talking about the Hillary and Trump show, if you will, they called it the Super Bowl of political debates. There's one part that from the Daily Caller that was interesting to me. you got Michael Moore, who, you know, I think he's, what would you say, trying to remain somehow in the media. And he says that Trump won the debate. He gives a whole bunch of his little, what do you call it, tweets during the debate and says, oh, you know, if Hillary would have done this or Hillary would have done that, I wish she'd go right at him, you know. But it was interesting to see that. I didn't really expect that from him. Of course, I kind of would expect or would hope to not even hear from him. You know, he said one of his tweets was pro-Hillary gloaters doing end zone dance again when still on 50-yard line. You must get in your head. Trump is going to win and act accordingly. He says, if you just turn off the TV right now and do nothing, you've just elected Donald Trump. He added, do something. Plan what you're going to do tomorrow. These are his, you know, I guess you could say commands to his followers. It's over. Trump's the egoist, the racist, the narcissist, the liar. Won. He continued, we all lost. His numbers will go up. She told the truth. So what? This is Michael Moore.
Yeah, now they say with Trump leading the polls, turncoat Republicans are plotting judiciary surrender, according to Conservative Daily, Kurt. So again, nothing was really mentioned on the Supreme Court there and the Republican sellout that may take place. Glenn Beck now apologizes to his listeners for backing Ted Cruz, Kurt.
Wow.
And then Yahoo had to announce... Say again?
He's been eating a lot of crow.
Yeah, poor Glenn Beck. Some are saying his whole listener base will erode and he's going to melt down too. Maybe he needs to endorse Trump. Maybe he actually needs to endorse Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley and stand up for something.
Yeah.
Now, Yahoo had to announce that the account information of at least 500 million users was stole by hackers 2 years ago. Yahoo said user information, including name, email addresses, phone numbers, birth dates, encrypted passwords, and in some cases, security questions was compromised in 2014. Why are we hearing about this now? Wow. This nation shall endure.